Ladies and gentlemen, welcome you all to Drive Through HR, the number one internet daily radio show for the HR professionals. And as you know, this is Nisha, your host, and we are on Twitter and chime in on the hashtag DTHR. If you are out there listening to the show and if you wanted to ask any questions to our guests, the hashtag would be hashtag DTHR, and that's when you know it's time to kick off the show. And most of you know I am recently working with Dallas HR as one of their board of directors, and I had a chance to talk and connect with an amazing HR professional out there, and her name is Amy Rose, and she's going to be our guest for today. Amy, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Thank you, Nisha. I'm so excited to be here today. I can't thank you enough for the invitation to be on the show.
Well, wonderful to have you here with us today, Amy. Well, you know the drill at Drive Through HR. So why don't you kick off the show, Amy, by letting our audience know who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. So I currently am the Director of Human Resources for Talent Supply and Development at the Borden Dairy Company, and I've got about 14 years of HR and talent acquisition experience. I worked in executive recruiting for about 4 years and have been in the HR and talent acquisition and talent management space ever since. Prior to getting into HR, I actually was in the legal industry for about 8 years. And worked for several law firms and a big corporation prior to jumping over into HR. So that's a little bit about me. And in my role today, I have a team that I lead for talent acquisition, talent management, and strategic HR within our marketing department.
That's great. Well, Amy, before we get to, you know, what's keeping you up at night question, you know, this is such a great transition that I can see in a legal professional or a person who worked in the legal industry, moved into recruiting and then into HR and talent acquisition. So tell us, how does that help when it comes to you being an HR professional and knowing more about the legal side or the compliance side of HR?
That's a great question, Nisha, because I do believe that my legal profession, legal background has really helped me quite a bit in the HR world. And to your point exactly, I think that I look at things through a little different lens. Having that legal training and legal experience, I do tend to, whenever we're presented with a new HR problem or something that we're looking to solve, obstacles, I do think that I tend to look at things through the legal lens also in terms of, to your point, from a compliance perspective, from a legal perspective, and then certainly from an ethical perspective as well. So I do feel like having that legal background has been really helpful and beneficial in my role in HR. I'm glad you asked. Thank you.
Indeed. Well, most of the HR professionals don't get that legal side, and especially they get more into a transactional role. And it's really great for you that, first of all, when you solve or get into a problem, your legal lens would come in front, and then you will see all the bits and pieces and where you can solve the problem, right?
Exactly.
All right. So tell us, what's keeping you up at night these days?
So that is a fantastic question. There are several things, but I would say that the item that most keeps me up at night is certainly the matter of talent. So identifying, attracting, and retaining top talent in the market is absolutely something that keeps me up at night, that I'm constantly thinking about and trying to find innovative ways to how we can attract the best talent in the market, particularly at Borden Dairy.
Mm-hmm. So how are you doing it? What are your strategies in terms of attracting that best talent at Borden Dairy?
That's a very good question. So I wanted to talk today about three specific topics. One, covering current market trends and what's going on in the market today, because I think that has a big impact on a company's talent acquisition strategy. Second, I've got some tips that I can provide to candidates that I think could be helpful for individuals who are in the market today who are looking for jobs. And then three, provide some insights as to future trends and what I see going on in the market that I think is going to lead to some pretty big changes in the future. So to answer your question, the current market, and a lot of HR professionals have seen this and have known this, because we've seen a trend over the last year, I would say, where the market has really shifted, and we're seeing that obviously there are less unemployed candidates on the market, and particularly for us, we're seeing that anytime we do get candidates applying to our jobs, most of those candidates are already employed. And that is important to know because I think it's showing just a trend in the market in general. We're seeing more candidates applying to jobs where they're still employed. But the other thing that we're seeing is that when we get down to the offer stage, many of our candidates are getting multiple offers. So they're talking with other companies, and when it comes down to the final negotiation and the final offer, we're seeing that our candidates have 1, 2, 3 offers kind of all coming in at the same time, which again I think is significant and different and certainly showing a market shift from what things were 1 year, 2 years, and especially 3 years ago.
Absolutely. At this point, we are going through a candidate-driven market. So the competition is huge, and especially if you're taking that much time enough to, give a confirmation back to your candidates or give that offer letter back to your candidates, you're going to lose them because they are sitting with multiple offers, right?
That's such a good point.
So how are you tackling the competition? How do you beat them?
Absolutely. So I think in a market like we have currently where it's certainly a candidate-driven market, it's very important for HR professionals and for hiring managers to, first of all, understand that. And I think that's a big thing because if the hiring managers don't realize that it's a candidate-driven market right now, they could very well lose out on top talent because if the process takes too long or if they're not doing a good job of communicating with the candidates and really having a tightened up recruiting process, that's where they're going to lose top talent. So I think it's important for companies to know it, to understand it, for HR professionals to talk with their business partners and share that information. But it's also an opportunity position to really button up their recruiting process. So making sure that they have a consistent message as to why candidates should come work for their company. You know, the two big questions all companies should be asking themselves is why should a candidate come work at my company and why would they want to stay? And so it's really the chance for companies to really, be efficient with their process and making sure they're communicating with the candidates, communicating with the hiring managers, and making sure when that top talent does walk in the door that we can move quickly to make sure that they have a good experience and then extend them an offer if they're the right fit.
Absolutely. So the hiring manager has a great role when it comes to, attracting and even retaining that best talent within the organization, right? Because most of the time, the candidates would give a fair idea about how it's like to be working in that organization by interacting with the hiring manager during the interview process. So what do you recommend to those hiring managers when they are sitting in front of a candidate and representing their company and going through that interview process in terms of attracting him if he is the best resource out there? What are your tips for the hiring managers?
That is a great question because you're absolutely right, Nisha. The interview with the candidate and the hiring manager has a huge influence on whether or not that candidate decides to continue the interview process and whether they ultimately decide to come work at that company. And some of the things that we tell our hiring managers to do and how we tell them to, kind of help really engage that candidate is to talk about the culture, talk about what's important to the organization, to go beyond just talking about the job description, but talk about how that candidate can have an impact on the organization and what they're going to be able to do and accomplish and how their career can grow and flourish within the company. A lot of candidates, particularly top talent, within the market, they want to know, why should I come work at your organization? What differentiates you? And how will I grow my career? What career opportunities do you have to offer? So I think when hiring managers can clearly articulate that information to a candidate, it certainly makes the company very desirable from a candidate perspective. I mean, in all interviews, you know, what we're trying to kind of the information we're trying to obtain is we're basically looking for three pieces of information whenever we interview a candidate. We're trying to find out, one, can the candidate do the job? Two, do they actually want the job? So you can have a candidate who's very, very qualified, but maybe they're a little lukewarm on the organization. So it's, can they do the job? Does the candidate want the job? And I would say third, and probably one of the most important, is this candidate going to be a cultural fit within the organization? And I think that's a question hiring managers need to make sure of, but also the candidate is going to want to make sure of that too, right? Because I think that's an important piece of really having a successful career within an organization is knowing that, you know, from a cultural fit perspective, it's a place where you really want to be.
Absolutely. Well, candidates, they are making their decision very cautiously when it comes to spending their day in and day out, you know, 7 to 8 hours working with a company, working with a fantastic group where he can collaborate and he can contribute more and achieve his career success too. So while you were talking about the culture fit factor, that takes me right into the question, if you are interviewing a candidate and I'm asking you, competency versus culture fit, what matters the most?
That's a really good question. So competencies certainly are very important. Culture fit also as well. We want to make sure that the candidates, you know, that come to our organization are going to be a culture fit within our organization. And every company has a different culture. I mean, some companies are fast-paced, they're entrepreneurial, they want individuals who can problem-solve and wear a lot of different hats. And, of course, that could be very different from a very structured organization where there are a lot of layers and a lot of roles, and people are expected to come in and really kind of do more of a narrow-focused role. So it really depends on, you know, what the candidate's looking for, and what the company is looking for in terms of, is that going to be a good match from a competency perspective and from a cultural fit perspective? So it just really depends.
All right. And, you know, most of the time when I bring this question to my guests at Right2 HR, when I'm asking this question, especially to the recruiters, most of them, they would talk that culture fit is just a myth. How do you explain it, or how do you measure it? These are the questions that that normally they come up and ask to me. So being an HR professional and being an HR leader out there, how do you recommend when it comes to describing very clearly, very particularly to your candidates, what culture fit looks like?
It's a very good question. So we talk to them about, you know, our company values. And Borden has, you know, very defined set of core company values. So we talk about those and what's important. And it's really kind of the foundation of how our organization is built. So, you know, for example, integrity is one of ours. And that just means integrity in everything that you do, your work, your relationships, your communication style. It's a key core value of our organization. So that's really important to us. So I think if from a candidate perspective, you know, asking about culture, you know, asking the company to really articulate what are their core values, what are their what's their purpose, what's their mission, I think really helps give a candidate more of an idea as to what that culture looks like for that particular organization. And I did have, I had a couple of tips that I wanted to give to candidates as well for ones that are out there interviewing in the market. So, you know, the other thing is sometimes a candidate will be represented by a recruiter. And I just wanted to talk really briefly about that because in my past, I was a recruiter at one point too. And there are pros and cons to working with a recruiter. Sometimes a recruiter can get your foot in the door at a company that maybe you might not necessarily have gotten the opportunity to interview at. So that that can be really beneficial. But I wanted to say, too, a lot of times, you know, recruiters will reach out to large amounts of candidates in the market. They'll just keep calling to try and find out who might be a good fit. And I wanted to encourage, you know, our listeners that if you do get a call from a recruiter, I think it's always helpful to get at least that information. A lot of times they'll call specifically because they have a job that they're searching for. And it's interesting to me because, you know, some people just don't want to take the call. They don't want to talk to the recruiter. They don't really want to have anything to do with them. But I think it's a great opportunity for a candidate to get market insight when a recruiter calls them. So they can find out about a potential job that's open. And even more importantly, they can find out about what that job is paying. And I think that's helpful for anyone to know, even if you're not looking for a job, because it helps you understand where you fit in the market and if you're being paid competitively. And it's interesting to me, when I worked in executive recruiting, which means we worked with candidates at the very highest levels within an organization, you know, sometimes one of the things that I would find is at those very senior levels, so CEO or CFO or, you know, chief marketing officer, a lot of times it was difficult to find women who were in those positions already. But when we did, or when I did reach out to them and find them, it was interesting to me because many of them I couldn't even get on the phone to have a conversation with me. And I just thought that was kind of interesting and maybe a little bit of a missed opportunity. It seemed like I could always get, you know, men on the phone, and they, I think that gave them a little bit of an advantage because they were always understanding the roles that were open in the market and what those roles were paying. And I think that gives people some market intelligence and market advantage. So I would encourage, you know, individuals that if you get a call from a recruiter, it can never hurt to have just the conversation, right, and find out what's going on in the market. You don't necessarily have to engage. You don't have to apply for the job, but I think it's always helpful to get that data.
That's true. Well, let's give a big shout out to our audience, those who are listening to Drive Through HR. Folks, as you know, you are listening to Drive Through HR, and we are talking to our wonderful guest, Amy L. Ross, SPHR Director, Human Resource and Talent Supply and Development at Boarding Dairy. And we are talking more about the current market trends for recruiting and some of the interesting tips where you can find jobs and even identify, attract, and retain your best talent. So stay tuned. And while Amy, we're talking about some of the candidate tips where you can get a job so easily. So Amy, what do you think, you know, candidates should stop doing when it comes to searching job?
What should they stop doing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a tricky question. I think, you know, obviously when candidates are out in the market looking for new opportunities, of course it's always important to do your research. Understand the company, understand the culture, understand what the organization's looking for. But the other thing I wanted to point out and say that one of the ways that we generate amazing talent and candidates is through networking.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to bring that up as well because I truly believe that that is such a valuable way to find kind of the best jobs or some of the best jobs that are out in the marketplace. I mean, I think from a hiring perspective, when we have a referral, it takes a little bit of the guesswork out of whether the candidate is going to be a fit or not. So if we have someone in our organization has worked with before, firsthand knowledge, it takes a little bit of that, will this candidate be the right fit, out of the equation. So networking is such a fantastic way to find jobs. Many times, jobs sometimes only get posted on a company website, so they actually never even make it to Monster or LinkedIn or CareerBuilder or any of those large job posting boards. So there are times when a company just posts on their company website, that's it, and there are times when jobs don't get posted at all. So networking is such a key way to find some of those jobs that maybe you would never necessarily find just searching on the web. So I wanted to point that out
true.
As well. And,
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, and I was going to say, and another great way to find out about some of the best jobs out in the market is through professional associations. So being involved with a professional organization, for example, like Dallas HR.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to mention Dallas HR because it's such a phenomenal organization. And Nisha, you know, as a board member of Dallas HR, is such a great way to network and meet people. And not only to get involved and find out information about the market, but it's also the opportunity, I think, to develop your leadership skills. And I think leadership skills and leadership is a competency that more and more companies are really looking for in candidates. They don't necessarily want to know, can someone manage, but they want to know, can someone lead? And I think Dallas HR is a great way to network and to help build your leadership skills. There are opportunities to volunteer on committees. There are ways to get involved through volunteer activities. And so it's just a great, great way for HR professionals to get more in tune with the market and for the opportunity to really develop your leadership skills.
That's true. And not every job gets posted on career sites and even on social media, but then when those people are there in those networking group while you're going to even Dallas HR or any other chapters or even any other association, it's a great way to get to know the people around you, and you never know which door gets open, right?
It's so true. Absolutely. And one of the great things about Dallas HR, too, is they actually have a career transition service mm-hmm. that they offer, and it's for free, but it helps members who are in transition. So
correct.
Who are maybe have recently been laid off or have already left their job and are in the market looking, and it's such a great resource. It helps connect members to companies and to open positions. And to your point exactly, I mean, I think we get some jobs that get posted through Dallas HR as well that, maybe won't necessarily be posted in other places, but it's a great way to network and find out about the market and what opportunities are available.
Absolutely. So, Amy, we are almost, we have about 5 minutes left at this point, and I wanted to ask you more about the future trends that you foresee happening in 2015 in the recruitment industry.
Absolutely. So there are a couple of trends that I think are emerging that we're going to see over the next, I think, 5 to 7 years. And I think what we're going to see with the rate and the pace of technology changing the game, I mean, if you just look at even the last 10 years, the dramatic technology changes that have gone on, I think technology is going to continue to spur companies to do things faster, better, more efficiently, and to expand globally. So I think with technology continuing to be that backdrop that's kind of causing change, I think that some of the trends that we're going to see that companies are going to be looking for moving forward when they're hiring talent, I think they're going to be looking for 3 things as they hire talent in the future. I think they're going to be looking for individuals who are very adaptable, so people that can continue to change as technology changes, as the companies change, and particularly as companies continue to expand and go overseas, I think it's going to be really important. I think they're going to look for talent that can show that they're as highly adaptable. I think they're going to look for leaders. I think they're going to look for people who really can drive change, who can inspire others, and they're going to look for people with those leadership qualities. And the third thing is I think they're going to continue to focus on people who are well-rounded business professionals, that they have a strong business acumen and they can look at things from a company-wide perspective. Even if you have a narrow area of expertise, I think it's always important to understand how what you do fits into the bigger picture. And I think that's going to increasingly become more important as we continue to move into the future. So not only do you understand the department that you're in and the job that you're doing, but how does that department affect and function with other departments? What's your company strategy? What's the company revenue? How many employees does your organization have? People that can speak to company-wide, I think, business acumen matters, I think, are going to be highly desirable. The other thing I think we're going to continue to see is from a recruiting perspective, I think we're going to continue to heavily rely on social media. I think that's going to continue, obviously, to trend up moving forward. And I think we could eventually move to a state where we find candidates just through social media. I mean, more and more on Facebook, LinkedIn, a lot of people utilize already. But ways of connecting with people from a social perspective in terms of driving those candidates who maybe we already know and have a connection with is going to continue to increase. And I also think we're going to see more recruiting overseas. I think whereas now if we have a position open and we're having trouble finding someone in Dallas, we'll open up that search to Texas or we'll open up that search across the U.S., I think based on the way the economy is moving and companies are growing globally, I think we're going to start seeing companies opening up those searches to looking for candidates globally. I think we're going to start looking for candidates overseas when we maybe can't find the talent here in the U.S. And I know we do some of that now, but I think that's a growing trend that we're going to keep seeing, particularly as other countries continue to educate, put an emphasis on education, and really start developing their talent. I think that that's something that we might see the U.S. Start heading towards is really tapping into that talent overseas.
Absolutely, yeah. Even most of the successful companies who are following that SMAC path, as you are saying, you know, right, the social, mobile, or analytics and cloud, those path, and they are doing a great job when it comes to attracting their talent and building their employer branding and identifying and retaining the best talent out there. So, Amy, I'm just gonna switch the gear and ask you some random questions. Throughout your journey, you know, 14 years of HR experience, what made you successful? What is that one single quality that you still keep with you and that helps you at every moment where when you tackle a problem?
That's such a great question, Nisha. I mean, the thing I love about my job, what keeps me excited, what keeps me passionate about what I do, is at the end of the day, I love helping people. It's really important to me. It's important that what I do every day has a connection with helping others also do better, get better. I look at what I do in terms of I help individuals find better opportunities and find better jobs. And at the core, that's what really kind of motivates me and what I'm passionate about in really being able to help others is why I get into HR and why I just love it so much.
Wonderful. And I know you go to many, many conferences and you go to many networking events out there. So what is your one single tip to our audience when it comes to making the most out of networking?
Absolutely. For me, networking is all about how can I help somebody else? What can I learn? What can I find out? And how can I help that person? And I love to meet new people. I love to hear other people's story, how they got to where they are, what keeps them up at night. And to me, network is all about how I can help others. And I think that's what networking should be about, right? It's not about what can you do for me. It's about what can I do for you.
Correct. So, Amy, thank you so much for being here with us today and sharing your wisdom on recruiting trends and insights. And we would love to have you again to Drive Through HR sometime soon. So where can our audience connect with you or find out more details about Borden Diary? And if you have any opportunities out there, how can they connect with you?
So anyone interested can go to bordendiary.com and find out more about our company and jobs that we have available and what we're currently offering right now. So bordendiary.com.
Thank you. So that was Amy Ross on Talent Supply and Development, and she is the Director of Human Resources at Borden Diary. So connect with her on LinkedIn and on Twitter at Amy, AmyLucileross. So that's Amy Rose. Thanks, Amy, and have a wonderful day.